So would this, let me make sure I understand, would this amendment subject all the water you're treating to a $10 or a $20 a ton fee?
I don't know how you would arrive at a number other than using 8.3 pounds per gallon. I don't know how you would determine how much waste there was and what portion of it was waste, what portion was water. It's all combined, so you'd have to look at the total flow.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd suggest, Mr. Chairman, is that there are a number of other smaller generators who cannot afford to go through the capital accumulation to build a kind of a facility that they have at Tektronix, nor that do they have the volume or I guess even the need, who ship material, including water, materials with water in them, to our evaporation ponds at Arlington. And they pay $10, $20, whatever that is, on the full weight, including the water. So I guess what we're maybe arguing for is some kind of an equity for the smaller generators who can't afford to be a licensed on-site facility.
It is an interesting issue, just because, I mean, the theory is to have the generators of waste pay for this. I mean, that's the theory, not just the generators of waste who take their waste to Arlington, but the generators of waste. I mean, that's the generalized theory.
But then are you going to cause problems for people who recycle, for example?
Are you punishing the recycler?
Right, you're raising lots of good questions, I don't mean to sound like I've decided or anything. I just, it is an interesting issue because.
Well, my main purpose is to bring up all of those issues.
Well, I appreciate that
suggestion.
You've done an excellent job.
And I don't get paid for this. I don't know why they pulled me into these talks, but I'm the shovel and bucket guy. I don't get this.
Okay.
That's what we pay them big bucks to do, decisions.
Are you through with your testimony?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, are there any further questions for Mr. Barrows or Mr. Deaver at the present time? Thank you both.
Thank you very much.
One final witness, Tom Donica.
We got a Tom Donica?
Yeah, we
have.
We just forgot.
How come he always bats cleanup?
I don't know. It's just
how is it he always bats cleanup? That's what I mean.
He hangs back to sign up.
We still own this set, too.
Everybody rushed up to sign up.
Didn't hang back. I was scared before the meeting started. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, basically what I have to say today has pretty well been covered. You can take the testimony and read it, but I think the points you wanted to make really are the funding that's available won't basically provide for the characterization of the sites that are out there.
Mr. Chairman,
can you speak up, Tom?
The funding provided by the bill will not provide adequate money, in our opinion, to provide for site characterization, let alone any cleanups. The first paragraph, really, we're talking about Federal Superfund, the amount of money, the way the Congress approached it, and the way they funded it. The point being that they have funding for $8.5 billion over the next 5 years, basically, again, under oil company taxes and specified chemical taxes, and they have a couple of other things thrown into the reauthorization. But everybody's paying for the federal portion of it already. You're paying for it in your gasoline prices. You're paying for it in the products that you buy. It's already being done. In our particular case, we think that there's adequate legislation now to take care of the people who are already financially responsible. In the last paragraph on the first page, we're pointing out what it costs, and this has been alluded to a couple of times, what it's going to cost to clean up United Chrome at Corvallis, including site characterization. It's $2.5 million, and Oregon will be responsible for 10% of that. So we're not only paying in the products we're buying for Federal Superfund, we're also paying directly for Federal Superfund. It's no grant. no gift. We paid for that too. If you divide the $5 million, you wind up with about $25,000 per site. Then you heard Tom Novick say that the cost is somewhere between $5 and $100,000, and it's going to average better than $25,000. I guess the final point we raised is that the bill raises expectations which may require more substantial funding. We need to know the extent of the liability, because at some point in time we're going to have to become financially responsible for whatever that is. And I think this committee and this legislature needs to know, as they consider this bill, what that obligation is. Is it $1 million? Is it $10 million? Is it $100 million? Is it $200 million? What kind of a number are you looking at out there? You have somewhat the similar problem. It's not just the administrative side in this one. In Senate Bill 115, you're looking at the underground tanks. Your problem is the administration of it, and downstream, you're handing on a $200 to $300 million obligation to people who own underground tanks over the next 10 years. But that's going to be the problem of the people who own the underground tanks as they replace them. This one says, this legislature will find a way, if not this biennium, next biennium, or in 1991, to fund whatever this turns out to be, and we think the only responsible thing for you to do is to figure out what that cost is going to be before you bite into this apple totally. The other comments that are on the page really are for 122 as you currently have it before you. The amendments that will be coming in from DEQ we did not comment on. You hadn't seen them. It seems not appropriate to deal with those until they were actually before you. We simply close by saying we're willing to work with this committee or with any other groups to see if we can't find an answer that is acceptable to this legislature and to the many people in this room.
Tom, let me make sure I understand your testimony. You're saying we should figure out all of the cost of all of the cleanups before we start funding cleanups? Well, I mean, I don't understand what you said. We got a problem. We know that. We know there's some sites we should start cleaning up right now. So what are we supposed to wait for? Basically, are you warning us that we're heading into a big black hole?
Mr. Chairman, that's exactly what I'm suggesting. I'm not certain that the agency has any site that they can tell you that needs cleaned up right now. I don't think they've done any site characterization.
But I don't think your testimony would be that there aren't any sites that need cleanup in Oregon.
Well, on the list you have before you, there are a number, it's been testified to by others, there are a number of people on the list that are financially responsible. And they now have strict liability under RCRA, and we believe they can be moved on under existing law as PRPs. I don't think you need 122 for the financially responsible people. What you're looking at, what you are really looking at, is how many of those out there are orphan sites, how many of those are going to have to be paid for, and they're going to be paid for by financially responsible people to take care of the financially irresponsible people. And I think you need to know how much money that is. These are going to be past practice cases. These are not people basically that are in business today. They're gone.
So
I would also suggest one other thing. The bill doesn't address a little problem, and I don't think the department's amendments address a little problem of what happens to an orphan site, let's say to the Port of St. Helens, which I think is going to have one, and everybody just walks away from it. And it drops on the Port of St. Helens, or the City of Portland, or the City of Eugene. The CERCLA reauthorization basically said if you got them under those circumstances, you were free of liability. And that this bill does not address that, I do not believe.
Senator Cohen.
So if you're free of liability and you're contaminating the water, what difference does it make? I mean, the government, the general government in the state of Oregon, in St. Helens or Eugene, has some obligation
well,
to to make sure we don't have contaminated drinking water, and so I don't think that,
well, that will be taken
state
care
of Eugene is going to, I mean, the state of Eugene, that Eugene is going to be relieved of any great liability of going, I have to clean it up if it is, in fact, as a Superfund site. I mean, Superfund sites, you don't come to them lightly. I mean, there's some major amount of risk.
Madam,
before they get to that category, I guess that
Mr. Chairman, we know that they do not rate the 28 points for the EPA list, but I think you heard the director and others say today there are many on these sites that don't reach the federal list, and I think the department also testified there wasn't anybody they thought was on this list that would ever make the federal list now. I would like to be as assured of that as they are, but I would think site characterization might well find that some of those sites do make the list, and we get rid of them. Give them to Uncle Sam, we'll pay 10% instead of 100%. But I was trying to talk about the situation where an orphan site being one where some third party holds a mortgage, the person's gone bankrupt, they walk away from the site, and for taxes or other reasons, the city or the county gets back. Should they be held to be responsible?
They're going to be responsible regardless. I mean, it's a piece of land
that's contaminating
their citizens' world.
Well, it depends on the extent of the contamination. Maybe groundwater is contaminated, maybe not. It's not, it's, you know, there are varying degrees. It's going to go, we know it's going to go from 28 points down to 1. Everybody on that list has got 1 point, but that does not necessarily mean that the site needs to be cleaned up. It may well be better handled under our land use planning law that was passed last session, which says that site ought to be locked up, put on the land use plan so that everybody who buys that land or has the land downstream knows it's there and it has land use conditions put on it. It may not be. I mean, the heavy metals may be there. They may be so bound up. They're not moving. They're not leaching. To remove it might be an exceptionally expensive activity, far beyond anything that's needed. And it could be that proper land use designations would handle it. But that's got to be looked at, we think.
That concludes my question.
Questions? Further questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kern.
Yes, Senator.
Would I be wrong in characterizing your testimony to say that because it's going to cost a whole lot of money, we shouldn't do anything?
No.
What is it that you want us to do then? What do you want us to do?
If I had these kind of instructions, I'll give you my personal opinion because I've still got to
sure.
go.
I understand it.
You'd basically take it in two steps. You'd take whatever funding you've got now, you would characterize sites during this next biennium, and you would get a report back in 1989 that would tell you what sites should remain on that list, which sites aren't there, whether any new sites have been added to the list, with some direct responsibility for coming back with an estimate of what the cost is going to be.
Mr. Chairman, then, Mr. Donica, having done that and separated the ones, twos, and threes from the 25s, 26s, and 27s, how would we then finance, you say we're not going to generate enough money to do this, how would you then finance attacking the, what would that be, 14s and above if you split it in the middle, how would you then finance their cleanup if this $5 million in biennium, which you say should be spent on site characterization, how would you then go and raise the money to go and attack the half, let's say, the 14th to 28th.
Senator Cairns, that may be a $100 million question, and I haven't got the answer to it, and I don't think anybody in this room has an answer to it just yet.
And that's why, Mr. Chairman, I get the sense that behind the witness's testimony is it costs too much, so we shouldn't do it now.
Behind the witness's testimony is a terrible fear. Because it will, the issue of cost will be addressed. You will address it this session, or you will address it in 1989 or 91. It will be addressed. And I don't know what the answer is, and I haven't got an answer for you. All I'm saying is when you move on this, and I think you will move on this, then you must face the economic potential that's downstream, because it is certainly there. And to walk away from it and say, gosh, This is great, and we'll just go ahead and we'll do this little thing and we'll spend $5 million. You have not solved the problem, nor addressed the problem. our opinion.
Mr. Chairman, one other question then. On joint and several liability, do you think we ought to have a strict liability for the as presented by Mr. Hansen, or should we use the standard under the federal super fund and maybe raise some money of that sum we're talking about from people who have a joint and several liability for the site?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Cairns, I've got to go back to Western Processing for a moment. There, the federal government had, I think, almost 200 people on the list. They elected to pick about 20. Those tend to be the larger firms. They put them in a committee and came to an agreement. And those 20 firms were basically held responsible. Those 20 firms and those other, and the rest of those firms were all smaller.
Mm-hmm.
So you leave the subrogation right to those large firms to go after all the other little firms. It seems to us that the state has the responsibility to go after everybody at one time if they know who they are. And the federal government's attitude in this particular case seems to us irresponsible. Everybody should have been contributing. It should not have been left just in the deep pocket. Why should you leave some companies, in this case they may or may not be large companies, to have to go after their smaller, probably competitors, and perhaps shut them down? It's a very, very itchy kind of thing to have to do. And they may or they may not have coverage. And remembering, virtually all environmental contamination coverage disappeared January 1, 1986.
So the answer is no.
The answer is no.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Cohen.
What if in the next 2 years, let's say, what is so terribly disagreeable about collecting $2.5 million in the next biennium?
I have
that if you in what's, you know, even if you let's look at it in the sense of an emergency trust fund to take care of critical emergencies where you could maybe stop groundwater contamination before it gets into the whole aquifer or whatever. My greater fear is that we don't start on something so we have absolutely no reserves to call on when we have a genuine emergency with someone, with an orphan situation that's out there. I have a real concern about your suggestion that we site characterize the entire state and spend our money on site characterization in terms of studying and not have enough when we finally end up with a genuine emergency and we know in straight out get-go here that the $5 million is not going to cover anything but a genuine emergency. And I guess I'd have to say that in the process of administrative rule development, there's going to have to be some real prioritization, and I would hope it starts, you know, the priorities are given to those sites that have, you know, health.
Are the most critical.
Yeah, and so I guess I can't imagine that we would start from the back end of the thing and start cleaning up a site that was less than critical, and especially since we have nothing really compared to the whole
world. In some cases, you aren't going to know whether it's critical unless you do the site characterization. That's the real deep problem. One of the things we did address in our testimony that I didn't mention is, on occasion, you send people in to do site characterization, and even though they're doing the work in the best possible way, they can create more problems. There are problems with it, and one of the things that was suggested that might be helpful in reducing cost of site characterization, since you're probably going to be using outside contractors, would be to remove their liability for that kind of an activity that was done not willfully, wantonly, or without, but not for their responsibility to the person whom they're contracting for, either to the state or to the person whose property was damaged, but not for other unintended and unanticipated damage that results from the site characterization. Because if you don't address that problem, as we would understand it, your cost of site characterization is going to go up. Because those people are going to have to build it into their costs and the potential for that. No, let me close with this one comment. We are not saying don't do it. we are saying that if you do it, understand that you're biting into a very, or potentially a very, very large economic picture, and it's got to be addressed some point in time. I wish we had a better answer for you on how.
And Mr. Chairman, we have, as I understand it, we have the pledge of the witness to work with us in trying to find the method, the wherewithal to finance the cost of that apple you say we may well bite into.
You do.
Thank you.
I will continue to meet with you on that issue.
Okay. I will be here.
Thank you, Tom. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify at the present time on Senate Bill 122? Hearing no one, we'll close the hearing. Before I open the work session, before I open the work session on 180, there's a number of people here who appear to be students who are wearing little blue buttons.
Who are those?
Who are they?
Awesome.
Welcome. Are you from a number of different schools around the state? Mostly Portland State University or Oregon State University? Or
see, what I have to do is I have to make copies of the interview.
Great. Welcome. We're glad you took the time to come up. I hope this has been at least in some way instructive for you. Let me open the work session on 180 by the chair would move, having voted on the prevailing side, the chair would move that we reconsider the vote by which we pass Senate Bill 180 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I could probably just do that by anything.
Sure.
Is there any objection to a reconsideration of Senate Bill 180? Hearing none, so ordered. Lois, why don't you come up?
Mr. Chairman, can we ask our guests to maybe hold it down because we're still in
committee session, so you're free to leave, but leave quietly, please. Thank you for being here today. Proceed.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, my name is Lois Davison with the Oregon Health Sciences University. I apologize for taking up the time of the committee. My intention was not to make a long Friday longer, and also apologize for the confusion. In looking through Senate Bill 180, the concern of our people up there was that with the addition of a section referring to licensing for veterinary medicine or for veterinarians to practice medicine, dentistry, surgery, that we, unless we were specifically included under that section, or excluded, I should say, under that section, that one could argue that our research associates...
Hold on a minute. Excuse me. Please go outside if you want to have conversations, because we're trying to hear the witness. Thank you. Proceed.
That the people in our institution involved in research activities with animals, which include everything from our students to surgeons, could be construed as being in violation of the law requiring them to be licensed. And in addition, the existing section in the Act, 686030, appears to refer only to diseased animals. And in our research activities, we're not involved. We work with animals. We're not diseased. In the spirit of compromise.
Excuse me. I would think you don't. If you don't have some diseased animals in those labs that you're testing, you must.
I said only. We do not work only with diseased animals. I'm sorry if that wasn't clear. No, we work both with diseased animals and with healthy animals. In the spirit of compromise, however, we are comfortable with adding, I guess we'd have to add a new section that would amend that would amend 030 subsection 1B. And I don't know if you want me just to read this or in the ninth line.
Let me ask the committee administrator just to explain the proposed amendment,
right,
if I might.
Okay.
Is that all right? Okay. Peter, would you explain the proposal?
Chairman, I believe the intent of the committee, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to exclude Oregon Schools, Health Science University, from the requirement to have a veterinary license and to continue to allow them to work with animals both healthy and injured.
That's correct.
And in doing that, Section 030 is not in the bill, so that's why we didn't have it before, because it was not modified. Section 020...
What is it? It's
686.
Okay.
686020 is what we added to create licensing. 686030 continues to explain what constitutes the practice of veterinary medicine and includes in subsection 1D an exception, which I will now read. It describes what it is to be a veterinarian. Then it says, except as provided for and through the state schools and colleges of Oregon for cure, amelioration, correction, or reduction or modification of any animal disease, deformity, defect, wound, or injury for higher fee, compensation, reward, promised, offered, expected, received, or accepted directly or indirectly. So that's an exclusion for the schools already. And what we're proposing here is after the words reduction or modification of any animal, we insert the words or animal, and that would make it so that it allows them to work on any animal and then or animal disease, deformity, defect. Right as it's written now, it looks like it would be illegal for them to do research even under current law that was not on a defective animal. So we probably want to fix that as long as we're here.
Sort of clean it up here.
So it reads modification of any animal, meaning healthy, and then or animal disease, deformity, defect, so on and so forth. So we just have to add two words here to solve the problem. And then the committee would also want to unadopt the amendment that discussed earlier.
Right. So what we would need to do is unadopt the amendment that we adopted before from the Oregon Health Sciences University, and in its place adopt an amendment to 686030 sub 1B with the addition of the language that Mr. Green described. Senator Cohen moves that we remove the amendments that we already adopted from the Oregon Health Sciences University and replace them with the one that we just described in 686030. Is there any objection to those amendments? So ordered.
Senator Cohen. I just want to make sure.
I want to make sure everybody's satisfied.
Yes.
We didn't get it quite coordinated before this last amendment came forward, which was the problem. And I didn't look over to Nan to see whether she was okay before we moved. I apologize.
For the record, I'm Nan Dewey, legislative consultant for the Oregon Veterinary Medical Association. I'm sorry that we had to cause you these problems on a late Friday afternoon, but we were not aware. But after 6 weeks of having the bill reduced, that there was a problem with it until this afternoon. And the amendment was very unacceptable to our association because of the word nonprofit having been put in it, and it could construe a lot of other businesses being started that would be in direct competition with licensed veterinary medicine, the veterinarians in the state of Oregon. So in the last 2 hours, we have worked out this amendment, and we're pleased that you took it up this afternoon. Thank you so much. It's okay.
We're all set.
All set.
All right. Senator Cohen moves Senate Bill 180 as re-amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk, would you call the roll, please?
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Cairns.
Mm-hmm. Call your name.
Yeah, all right, sure.
You like
good,
it.
Good bill.
Senator Kintai.
Aye.
Senator Bradbury.
Aye. Motion is adopted. Senator Brenneman will carry the bill. I think the Senator Cairns will now move our subcommittee on
household hazards.
Household hazards, and the rest of us can go. Frank, yes.
Can I interrupt?
Well, yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Well, before you start, another thing. I just want to extend an invitation to all of you, individually or as a group, to come to our site.
Great.
Come see it. We have our treatment facility. We're also into a remedial action program.
Good.
And I'd like to share that with you and show you what one looks like.
Okay.
We'll be able to see what they're all about.
Good. Thank you very much.
We'd like to do that. You know, when and all.
I'll have Peter get in touch with you.
Right.
And with that, the full committee is adjourned, and then Mr. Cairns or Senator Cairns.
Yeah, we'll take up in about two and a half or 3 minutes, if that's okay with the.
That's fine. I'm gonna run next door when I'm called to do transfer training.
Fine.
Limitations.
Let me take about 2.5 minutes. I want to.
It seems to be.
Not unusual. She's here and available. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to hold on to this.
Yeah, that's fine. It's
okay. Let me play it right here.
Well, at least, you know, the other thing is,
trust me.
Get it, go work on it. It's going to go to the house.
Otherwise, we'll take it up.
We've got lots of time.
We'd be an hour into the program before we got there.
And figure it out with the man. Figure it out and do the man and then work on the family.
I'll get to him. But let's get some answers first, and then they'll know what they're shooting.
Okay, here, I had
people start thinking about it and go, oh.
All right, and Mr. Biles has got...
Yeah, you bet. My pleasure.
He's got some stuff, and I want to probably sit down I want to call him first, hear from him, and then we'll then have our version, his amendments, we can make some decisions, and then let people respond to that. That's what we're going to do. He wants to go last. He goes first. Yeah, he goes first.
Okay.
I'm going to go.
How late do you think?
Yeah, just this is this and this goes there. It was my file. That's
why I don't have a problem.
This is my copy of the package and that. And this is mine, which I will just put right here.
How long
did
you take
for
specifically
something? 45 minutes. How long
did it take?
That's how long it takes.
I was
going to get back.